Today I would like to talk about the waiting games we play. Waiting to be loved, waiting to be accepted, not wanting to be rejected, waiting for someone to give us time and their attention. In a sense, when we go out into the world, we have these expectations or we have these notions that I'm okay. I deserve to be loved. Give me love. Give me patience. Give me your time. And when I need it, you know, you give all your attentions to me. Almost a demand that we have in life, that we expect from other people. This always is the same thing when we try to deal with colleagues, our family members, our parents, our children. We expect something out of them the way we want it. And if we get what we want, we're happy. If we don't get what we don't want, then we're not happy. So in a sense, this is looking to the needs of ourselves, not to the needs of other people. So this is, in a sense, is a self-centered way of living. And Buddha has suggested or pointed out that you apply within yourself, inside yourself, and investigate what is your mind like. And that investigation, you apply it externally to other people. And that's the same mind other people have. So if we somehow try and investigate our mind, that is how our mind works. We expect things from people. We expect things to fall onto our laps. We expect people to give us, sometimes even without asking. So, in a sense, it can be too much sometimes. But as Buddha has pointed out, when we apply it externally, that same mind that other people have, they are also waiting for us to give them love, attentions, care, everything they want. So we're all playing this game, waiting and waiting and waiting. And some get nothing. And some are happy, some are not. If we look at the, for example, a family relationship, sometimes we have a bit of a arguments, sometimes quarrels, and then people sulk, and sometimes people don't talk to each other for days. You look at that sulking. What is that sulking? Sulking is, here I am suffering, you know, my mind is not happy. The other party, I want you to come and either apologize or make it up or make things happen. We expect the other person to initialize it. We put ourselves in this prison, little sulking prison. And we're waiting and waiting, waiting, isn't it? So that's normally what happens in families. Waiting game. We're waiting for you to come and give your attention to me, give your love to me. You make it up, you know. Even though we are right, you know, or whether we are wrong, either way, we expect this. So that's a waiting game we play. But if we look carefully, all these things, this is a self-torture. We're putting ourselves into this prison. Nobody asks you to do it. But if you have wisdom, you act differently. Our teacher, Ajahn Brahmawamsa, in his book, Opening the Door of Your Heart, a very powerful story about these two bricks. In those days, we were very poor. We don't have this much money. And then we can afford to buy bricks through donations, but we can't afford to buy hire the bricklayers and contractors and this and that sort of people to build the building. So the monk has to build himself, has to learn how to build things up. And the lay people are working and busy, so you can't rely on lay people either. So Ajahn Brahma once, so Ajahn Brahma built this wall. As you go to the monastery, you will see these walls. And then it was very beautiful until he hit two bricks. That two bricks were not straight. But he didn't realize at that time, so he kept building. And then when the wall finished, my goodness, these two bricks there, they're not straight. So he talked to that then abbot of the monastery, Ajahn Jagaro, you know. He wants to redo it. Ajahn Jagaro said, it's good enough, leave it, you know. So whenever he walked near this wall, he looked at the two bricks and he shook his head and so unhappy. One day there was a visitor. So he took the visitor around and showed the wall as well. And he avoided that two brick spot. After he finished showing, he felt a bit, you know, uneasy. So he said, he told about the two bricks, you know. So this visitor, you know, looked at the wall and he said, Ajahn Brahma, the wall is so beautiful, you know, so lovely, you know, that two brick doesn't matter anymore, you know. Doesn't matter, you know, it looks so beautiful, Ajahn, you know. So that's, he realized something, you know. There's only two little bricks out of that 999 bricks. The rest of the bricks, 999 is good. So what the story, this powerful story, what it's saying is, when we have this sulking game, that little mishap that we have at that moment, it's just that two little bricks. There are so many good things happen between the family along the way. Just because these two little bricks, we say, you're no good and I'm leaving. Wreck the whole wall. It shouldn't be that way. So there are things like forgiveness with this wisdom of knowing that there are many good things. So you concentrate on the good things rather than on these two little bricks. So that's how you overcome. That how you open up, tear up this prison yourself, and you come out of it, and then you try to see what you can do. Say nice words, make a cup of tea or coffee, or go and pet, you know, on the shoulder or whatever, things you know how to, you know, and make each other happy, that sort of things. And then you free yourself. Nobody does it. You yourself free it. You're happy. You don't play this waiting game anymore. You're free out of it. And your parents the same. Your children the same. You expect so much out of them. Your children come back and do silly things and you want to give up on them. You can't. Since they were born up until now, the joy you have with them is so much to throw everything away. So with this understanding and with this, you know, wisdom that Buddha has pointed out, the mind that you investigated and saw inside yourself is the same mind that other people have. So don't expect other people to come and initiate and kneel down in front of you and say, whatever happiness you want, I'll do it for you. It'll never happen. Pigs will fly before that. So we need, this is art of living, looking at the signs of life. Isn't it? What are the signs of life in families, in relationship? Like this, an old lady driving a car on the highway at 20 kilometers per hour. The policeman saw it and, oh, this car is a bit slow on a highway, you know, supposed to be 100, you know. And so he stopped the car and he saw an old lady driving in the car. At the back, there were two other old ladies. And he looked at the two other old ladies at the back, and their hair were standing up, and they were in panic, you know, shock, you know. And then he asked the old lady driving, who is driving, and he said, why are you driving 20, madam, you know? This is, you know, very slow. And then the old lady said, there it said 20, you know. And the policeman had a look and said, no. That is Highway 20, you know. It's not 20 kilometers an hour. This is 100 kilometers an hour you have to drive. Oh, okay, thank you, police officer. I didn't know about that. And the police officer said, by the way, you know, what happened to the ladies at the back? Oh, it's okay, she said, we just left Highway 200. So, you got to look at the signs in life, you know, this is the art of living. And if you live like that, then, you know, life can be quite happy. What I'm talking to you today is, in Buddhism, we have Loki and Lokottara. Loki is this world that we live in, how we live in here. Lokottara is the higher Dharma beyond this world. So, as lay people, this is very appropriate for us, this teaching. But if you somehow, through your meditation, progress further and your strength of the Dharma is strengthened, if you want to go to the higher Dharma, it's available there. Free haircut, free housing, free food, free travels is waiting for you if you feel like you want to progress further. So, but this is the Dharma that we live as lay people, and I hope you can practice it in your daily life. Thank you.